You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 95. My guest today is Melinda, who brings one of those wonderful dreams that are full of good clues. You know, sometimes we listen to a dream and we've got to hunt around for a few clues and then get in and then really get to what the dream means. And there's other times where even as you're listening to the dream, and I'm sure many of you that have been listening to this podcast series for a long time know this feeling, you're listening to the dream and you're thinking, oh, there's a clue. Oh, there's a clue. Oh, look, those two things link together. So it's one of those exciting detective work dreams where, you know, we're all going to get in as the dream detectives and get to find out what this dream means. I also love the fact that Melinda's dream's got a magical tree in the middle of it. And that's quite exciting, not just because a magical tree is exciting, but because whenever you get a symbol that seems to be magical in a dream, it often reflects a part of the dreamer's potential or something that the dreamer can really bring out of themselves as if by magic, that they're just beginning to touch upon something that they would never dream of being able to do. So we've got that wonderful magical tree symbol there in the middle. As usual, most of you know the technicalities of how this show is done. I phone the guest or we Skype the guest. And you can be a guest if you'd like to be on the show. We record that part of the dream and then I come back and I pop the beginning of the show on, which is what I'm doing now. So I already know about this dream. Of course, I know you're going to enjoy it. And when I start listening to any guest dream, I don't know the dream. That's part of the idea of the show. The dream is not emailed to me. It's not discussed. The person just puts up their hand and says, I'd like to come on the show as a guest and have a dream interpreted. And you get to hear the whole process from me hearing the dream from the very first. I hear the dream for the first time as you hear it. And therefore you get to eavesdrop on the actual process of interpreting a dream, of working with someone to interpret a dream. And I understand from all your feedback that you really love that. So just before introducing Melinda and that bit that we've just recorded, just a little reminder, as always, that if all this stuff excites you, please do share with your friends the show. It's easy to go to iTunes and subscribe. It's all free, of course, as you know. But if you go to iTunes, it's going to automatically download and you're going to automatically be able to listen to it each week, wherever you are, on whichever item of hardware or software you prefer to listen. And if you're interested in more general things, a lot more information about dreams or how you can contact me to either work with me personally, to have a reading on a dream, confidentially, or to do one of my courses, then of course go to my website at www.dream.net.au or my blog at janetheresa.com or find me on Facebook. So, hey, that's the ads done. Now on to Melinda. Welcome to the Dream Show, Melinda. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Really well, thank you. It's my morning, not my evening, but
that's right.
I do like being ahead of the rest of the world, you know. Thank you for being on the show, and I'm really interested to see what dream you've bought. So what have you got for me?
Well, this is a dream that's kind of stuck with me. I can't get it out of my mind. So I decided to share it. It's from a month ago. I tried to get something more recent, but I just wasn't getting anything.
This dream is the one that wants to be shared.
I think so. I labeled it the big basketball tree. So I try to give my dreams titles.
That's good.
Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready, yeah.
Okay. I was at some kind of conference in another city and another state close by, and part of the conference involved watching a play. One scene had four people sitting on the stage floor facing each other in pairs, and all but one had their knees up and their feet down. One young man would not bend his knees, and he had Asperger's. To accommodate this, the director put fake legs in front of him, with the knee, you know, from the knee down, so that in the photograph it would look like he matched the others. And then there's in second part of the dream. During the break in the conference, I decided I wanted to go play basketball. I had to drive to get to a basketball court, and I didn't know my way around the city. So I wasn't worried about it. I just started driving until I was out of city limits, and I saw a sign by the country road, or by a country road, that said basketball with an arrow pointing right. So I turned down the road, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was picturesque, and I just loved it. On my left, I eventually saw a clearing with an immense tree. And the girth of the tree was bigger than any tree I have ever seen in real life. And it had a basketball hoop nailed to its trunk. And it was obvious from the flattened ground around the tree that it had gotten lots of use. My first thought was that the hoop wasn't regulation height. So it was probably too low, so I couldn't play there. But then I looked again, and the hoop actually looked pretty high. And since it was obviously such a popular spot to play, I reasoned that whoever set it up probably did it at the proper height. I liked the tree a lot, but I decided to keep driving and see if there was a better place down the road. I didn't find one, so I turned around and returned to the conference. I never played basketball. So then part three of the dream. On the way back, I got stuck in a traffic jam, and I was very irritated. Somehow, I managed to get out of it by riding a bicycle. When I got back to the conference, my daughter was there, and she was in a really cool navy and white striped dress. I had made it for her, but she had changed the top. I looked down, and I had on a reversible red polka dot dress, but when I looked at the reverse side, the fabric was almost the same. The big difference was that one side had pockets. I was trying to figure out how to make the dress look different by wearing a different blouse on top. And that was it.
Oh, three completely different scenes, but all definitely connected.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
I love, as you tell the story of that basketball tree, it just gives such a beautiful feeling. Like, we all want to be there. But do you know why when you back, I'm going to ask questions, and as usual, I pump in at the middle of the dream, but have you any idea why when you saw the basketball tree and then you thought, oh, I'll just see if there's a better one further up, why when you came back, why did you go back to the conference and not go back to the tree? Any idea?
In my dream, it was I didn't have enough time. I had run out of time and I had to be back.
Right, okay. So you'd overshot to continue the metaphor. Yeah.
Right.
And yes, okay, the other question I wanted, a couple of other questions. What kind of tree was it? I mean, it's bigger girth than any other tree you've ever seen, but did you notice what species or what kind of tree it was?
No, I know it was, it wasn't an evergreen. I mean, it had leaves. I don't know. It was like a magical tree from a story. I don't know. I'm oak or something. I don't know.
Magical is fine for me. That's really good. And have you ever played basketball?
No, I don't play anything.
So you're not a sports person.
No.
And if I said to you, come on, Melinda, let's go and play a game of basketball, how would you feel?
I would probably prefer to watch. I like to watch college basketball, but I would feel like I am terrible. I'm a terrible basketball player.
Okay. I'm not very good at any sports that involve balls and catching. I think it comes from having worn glasses since I was a tiny child. So I can relate to that. I can do things by myself, but when it comes to catching and throwing, not quite so good.
Yeah.
So I like the fact there, Melinda, that you said, oh, I actually would prefer watching. Like at college, I actually quite enjoyed watching basketball, but not playing. And at the beginning of the dream, you were watching a play.
Yes.
So, there's a connection there between kind of standing back and watching something, being in the observer position. Which we'll come back to later. So we really start the dream where you're going to a conference and it's out of state. The basketball tree was out of state and out into the country, but the conference was also in another state, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a state that you often go to, or was it in the dream like a completely different state?
I had I don't know where it was. It wasn't familiar. I had a feeling it was close, you know, like the next state over from where I live.
Okay.
In the Midwest.
In the Midwest. Now, that's really lovely because you've got that kind of theme going through the dream of, well, I was at a conference and as you've just said now, it's kind of like one state over a bit. And then when you move on from there to find the basketball place, you're way out into another state and you're way out into the country and way out. And then you go out even further than that. So there's this feeling of traveling out into unfamiliar territory. You know, you just said, well, with the place where the conference was unfamiliar ground. You got the feeling it was unfamiliar. So the beginning of a dream will often kind of state the theme, remembering that the dream reflects the 24 to 48 hours before. And the theme of the dream is really something about, going on, moving on to unfamiliar territory, but taking in the beginning of the dream a safe sitting, you're watching the play, you're at a distance being objective. So it's kind of the feeling at the beginning of the dream a month ago when you had this dream that you were maybe pushing out into new territory, unfamiliar ground somewhere in your life. It can be any area of your life. We'll probably find out which, but it might be relationship, career, money, could be anything. But some area where you were really reaching out into unfamiliar territory, in other words, going beyond comfort zone. You know, pushing out the boundaries, but doing this by taking an objective point of view. I'll just sort of, I'm not going to get totally involved, but I'm just kind of tiptoeing over and I'll watch. I'm kind of like slightly out of myself watching what's happening here. Often in a dream, when you go to see a play or you go to see a movie or something like that, or you're watching an interaction between other people and you're kind of like the observer, it can sometimes be that the dream is about something that's actually quite emotional and you're just sort of taking a more of a less subjective position. You know, you're taking a step back so that you can see it with a bit of a different perspective. Or it can be that perhaps more in your case, when you're looking at a new way of being, you know, you're into unfamiliar territory, you're just holding back slightly to kind of see the lie of the land and how this could be. And I'm just suddenly seeing that too in the Asperger's boy, you know, because that obviously is a syndrome where the person is out of touch with their emotions, isn't it? And Asperger's person is out of touch with their emotions. So you've got that. Now, this is not to say that you're out of touch with your emotions. It's to say that the dream may have brought in this symbol to say at the moment when you're moving into unfamiliar territory with something, you may be just holding back from expressing your feelings or your emotions, or holding back from being in touch with your emotions, just to sort of see the lie of the land and see how things go, testing out before I actually jump in fully with my heart here. And suddenly in hearing myself say jump in, I'm suddenly playing basketball. But anyway, we'll come back to that. Apart from that, before I go any further, does Asperger's play a role in your life? You know, are you involved in helping anyone with that syndrome, or has it got personal meaning for you in any sense?
Not really closely. There are a couple, I accompany for choirs, and in two different choirs, there are some young people that have that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but it's not like I have to directly teach them or anything. I just know that they're there.
Okay. That's good. So I'd say from that context that your dreaming brain has just picked that as a good symbol for, being out of touch with your emotions at the moment. You're looking at the play and there's four people in two pairs sitting on the ground with their legs out, and three of those will bend the knees, and the Asperger's boy refuses to. Did you say they were all boys?
Yes.
Yeah, and refuses to bend his knees. I love it.
Yes.
What do you have to do when you hold a basketball in order to get it through the hoop?
You probably have to bend your knees.
Yeah, I not having done it myself, but I'm pretty sure you would have to bend them quite a long way to get up there. So I can see the connection there too. And of course, not in waking life, just to walk along the road, if you can't bend your knees, assuming you're standing up, if you can't bend your knees, you can't really walk properly. You know, your legs are too rigid. You need to bend your knees in order to move and in order to have some kind of bounce in your step, in order to be able to twist and turn. So there's that feeling. And I guess sitting on the floor too, if you've got your legs stretched out in front of you, you're in quite a rigid position. Whereas even if you've got your knees bent and your feet on the floor, you can move around a bit more in that position. So there's a sense of the knees as a kind of bending, a flexibility. So it's almost like you're looking at some situation and three quarters of it, three of the four parts of yourself is happy to bend and flow with it. And the other part is going, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm just going to stay rigid. And so you then add in the sort of, I'm going to stay out of my emotions here. I'm not going to bend with this. I'm not going to flow with this. I'm going to just stay, unbending. I'm not going to show my emotions. But, you know, three of the boys are there and bending the knees and going along with it. So the dream is like part of me. There's just a small part of me that for some reason, and we'll work out why that what this is about as we go through, for some reason wants to resist getting into the bend and the flow and the flexibility of emotion. Some part is just holding back in the audience, watching how things could be if I stepped over into this unfamiliar territory. The fact that they're all males probably means that this is about your outer world. So even though we're talking about emotions, the males and dreams tend to represent the world out there. You know, it's like your inner male or your yang. So rather than being about your inner self, which we're going to come to later in the dream, this is more about how do I literally perform in the world? You know, you've got a play happening there in the dream, but it's like, what is my role in the world? Actors acting a role. What is my role in the world? My new role in the world, I'm looking in unfamiliar territory and three quarters of myself is happy to take direction and go along with this and be flexible. And part of myself is not, is holding back. And I like that there's the idea of, well, let's put some fake legs on this and just make it sort of look. So there's even that sense of maybe if part of me doesn't want to totally flow with the emotions and totally give flexibility to this, maybe I can get away by faking a smile or faking it or making it look like I'm really involved in this thing. But really, I'm just going to hold back a bit. Now, there's a lot more in the dream, but how are we going so far?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. I'm wondering why there's four boys there, unless it's just that your dreamy mind perceives, oh, you know, it's just 25% of me that's not with this. But there may be something in the four boys. Go on.
You say it's the outer world. Could that be my jobs?
Oh, definitely.
I have four jobs.
You have four jobs.
I do.
Yes. Okay. Beautifully observed. Well done, Melinda. So at the time of the dream, a month ago, three of those jobs you were bending, flexible, had your heart in them. That's the emotions. Even with those three jobs, you'd somehow pushed them onto unfamiliar territory. You were opening up in new ways. And this fourth one was the one that you weren't so sure about going there. So I don't know at this stage, before we go any further with the interpretation, if that gives you a feel for which of your four jobs you might have been being a bit more rigid about.
Oh,
do you know?
I know. Mm-hmm. I do know. Yes.
Okay. Do you want to just hold that to yourself, or did you want to give us a clue?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Okay, so we know what that is. So that part of the dream kind of illustrated that. So then it's interesting to see, well, the next part of the dream is then, well, what are we going to do about this? You know, the opening of dream often sets the theme and introduces a problem or a question. So we have the problem child, the one that won't bend his knees. In other words, we've got the problem job. We've got this fourth job and, you know, we've just painted that picture. This is the question. This is the problem. The most of the rest of the dream will then go on in many ways to explore a solution for this problem or an answer to this question.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting that the next part of the dream you perceive it as it's an interval in the play. So this is like, you know, an opportunity to take time out and to basically explore what solution we can find. Because obviously that fourth job is either one that you're thinking, no, look, I really don't want to do that. I mean, like, there's a good reason for not putting my heart in it. There's a good reason for being rigid. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to do it. Let's pull the plug. You know, that's one solution. Mm-hmm. And another solution is to find out why you feel that way and find a way to transform that job, to be able to put your heart in it, to be able to put your flexibility. So the rest of the dream is going to explore all of this. So it's like you've got an interval. It's like, okay, guys, time out. Let's go and explore this. And, you know, you think straight away, you think, I'll go out in the country. So you're getting away. You've got that feeling of getting away from structure of civilization and cities. So you're moving out of structure And which is quite a clever thing to do in the dream, because it's like moving out of rigidity, even if I'm not getting my tongue around that word. Okay. So I'm going to free myself up and look at it. I'm going to go right out into country, right into a rural zone. And you perceived in the dream too that this was even further away. This was interstate. This was way out. So it's right out into even more unfamiliar territory. And I love that in the dream, your unconscious mind has the courage to go there. So it's looking way out there to look at this. And then I love the fact that, so we've got all this nature, which would tend in a dream to be more about your inner self. You know, what is growing? How is it growing? More curves and fluidity of nature rather than straight lines and structure of society. So it's more into the inner self. And what I love about that is when you get to the basketball court, what actually attracts you is the tree, which is on the left.
Yes.
So we're now going into the left, which is into the inner world, into the feminine side of your being, into the yin, into the right brain, into the creative element, into the spiritual, intuitive. So it's about my job, but I'm not looking at how I see my job in the outer world. I'm seeing, looking at the counterpart of that within me.
Okay.
And what you see in there is this most amazing, magical tree. So how good is that for starters?
Yeah.
You know, you described it as magical. And it's got the biggest girth of any tree you've ever seen.
Right. You know,
which means that it's been growing for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's ancient. And it's wide, you know, and I'm thinking here it's lateral. Width is lateral as opposed to rigid thinking is linear. You know, we go from here, we take a step, we take a step, we take a step. That's kind of rigid. Whereas lateral thinking is like a wide tree. I don't, you know, I'm kind of only half explaining this well, but that's the feeling I'm getting. It's lateral thinking is magical. It's creative. And then you introduce the hoop of the basketball and your first question, the kind of more linear thinking, that's the word I was looking for, but the more linear thinking, the more rigid, the more structural thinking part of you goes, oh, I can't play there because that's not the right height.
Yeah, that was silly.
Yeah, it doesn't fit in with the rules and regulations.
Yeah.
So you've got that feeling there of here is this totally magical place. And obviously other people have played there before because there's all the, you know, you can see the marks, the footprints underneath it.
Yeah, and the tree was all... you could tell it was worn too from people running into it, and not in a bad way, but it just had gotten a lot of use.
Oh, that's really wonderful. So this is something that other people, and we will relate from other people to you shortly, but in the dream, the feeling was other people have really valued, appreciated and enjoyed this tree as well as sort of running into it in a good way. And have obviously managed to play basketball, whether or not the hoop is according to the regulated height.
Right.
So it's like we're already, your dreaming brain is going, well, one solution is to take away the regulations. One solution is to say, does it have to be done in a particular way? Just because it's been done in a particular way up to now, or because I feel that other people require me to do something in a particular way, does that mean to say that that has to be the way it goes on?
Yeah.
Right. And if you're starting to apply this to that fourth job, you're probably starting to get some clues already. And yet when you look at it, you think, actually, that hoop's quite high, which is good for basketball. And it's also that good feeling of, you know, there's a feeling if you were playing the basketball at the magic tree, then you probably would be not only putting the ball through that hoop, but putting the ball through actually quite a high hoop, which means high potential, high achievements, high goals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the magic of doing well.
Yeah.
And you really notice there too that the part on the left in that dream was, you said it was cleared.
Yes.
So it's got that feeling that, you know, in the couple of days leading up to that dream that you had probably actually done a lot of clearance work or healing work, clearing your mind probably on why you wanted to extend beyond limits and boundaries and go into unfamiliar territory. So you kind of like cleared the way and you're now inching your way around that. Can I let go of the way that things have always really been done or of other people's expectations of how things should be done? And can I allow myself now that I've cleared this way to be magically creative, you know, to play in a different way? And, and I love the fact that, you know, when you actually then take that deeper step into dream work, Melinda, and remember that everything in a dream is an aspect of yourself. So even this tree, this magical tree, which is in on unfamiliar territory, is actually a part of yourself that's always been there. It just feels unfamiliar because you haven't been there for a long time. It's like as if we all come down and begin life with no boundaries. And then we gradually put these boundaries and limitations. This is the way things should be done. Oh, I'm not going there. That's scary. Oh, I think I'll just retreat back here. Oh, this is the way it has to be done. And I know you can't see me, but, you know, I can't help using my hands to show this. I'm bringing my hands in from a big circle into a small, like, plot in the middle, which is where many of us live so many decades of our lives before we realize that we can actually go back and reclaim some of that almost virgin territory that we've kind of ignored from the first few years of our birth. So you're going out and seeing this tree anyway, which is a magical, wonderful part of yourself. It's got this wide girth because it's been growing there for a whole lot of time. And when you really look at it, you see that actually it's kind of well used. People have battered into it. They have bumped into it. They have enjoyed being there. So in other words, you have come up against this part of yourself in some sense in the past, even though you haven't realized it. You have enjoyed a bit of magic. You have touch this potential and unfamiliar territory you have. It is kind of familiar to you while it's unfamiliar as well. You've been here before. It's time to get in touch with this again.
Yeah. Huh.
So then though, you didn't play basketball. You thought you'd go on and see if you could find a better place.
Yeah. And I remember thinking I needed to go play somewhere that was inside a building. I mean, I couldn't play outside. That was just silly.
Okay. You know. So what would in the dream, what would have been silly about playing outside?
Well, I think I was thinking that, you know, it wasn't following the rules, like the regulation. I mean, people don't play basketball seriously outside.
Yeah.
they go inside. And it's so funny because I am just not, it's like, why would I dream about basketball? I don't play basketball.
Well, let's take a step, you know, and then return to where we are and look at that. I mean, you said to me you used to watch basketball when you were in college.
Well, actually, what I meant by that is, I like even now, I like to watch the college teams play every once in a while. I'm not a huge like fan that I watch all the time, but if I'm going to watch, I like to watch some of the university basketball teams.
Right. And why, if you're going to watch, why would you watch the basketball as opposed to the university, rugby, football, whatever else? What is it about the basketball that attracts you? What do you enjoy about watching it?
Oh, it's got a lot of action. I understand it. I don't understand football as much as I try. I can't seem to understand what happens in football.
Okay.
It's high energy. Professional basketball, I don't really enjoy. It seems like their hearts aren't in it. Like the college players have more, they go for it more. They play because they love to play, rather than because they're getting paid to do it.
Okay, well, you just said it all there, haven't you? You love watching it because you do understand the rules, but mostly because they have their hearts in it. They're not doing it because they're being paid to do it, and they do actually have their hearts in it, and it's high energy.
Yes.
So they play because they've got their hearts in it and it's high energy. So you enjoy when you're, even though you don't actually want in waking life to go and play basketball, you're enjoying that energy. You're enjoying watching other people enjoying playing with all their hearts in a high energy kind of way. Although they're playing by rules, they've got their emotions in it and they've got a high energy in it. Rather than playing by the rules and, oh, because I'm playing by the rules, this has got to be restricted. So I'm not really feeling that my heart is in this.
Yeah.
So your dreaming brain has picked that basketball as an absolutely brilliant symbol for that too. It's like when, you know, at the beginning of the dream, we're saying you're watching a play because you're not putting your heart into it. You're watching it from a distance to get a feel for it. The Asperger's boy hasn't got his heart in it because he can't. Well, he's got as much of his heart in it as he can, but, you know, his emotions aren't really there. And so here's the theme returning. Your dreaming brain is going, well, look, you do enjoy watching other people enjoy doing things that just for the heart, not for the money.
Right.
And also the high energy. And high energy can be a thing. You know, you can allow rules and regulations to get the best out of you. You can perform to high energy because you've got to do it. You know, you can rise to meet the challenge. And that can be the kind of energy that, yes, it's high energy as in great output of energy, but you can be exhausted after it. Whereas when it's the kind of high energy that my heart is in this, I'm thoroughly enjoying that, then at the end of the game or whatever, you actually feel uplifted by it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But in the dream, you hit that, you know, your unconscious mind in the dream hits that thing again, but, oh no, I couldn't play here because I've got to play according to the rules. I've got to play indoors.
Yeah.
And even though you actually go deeper into the country and actually are willing to explore even more unfamiliar territory looking for that, as the dream shows, all it does is basically lead you into running out of time, and getting stuck in a traffic jam, getting back to the conference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So rather than search for the ultimate thing that delivers the heart and has the rules in it, it's not, you feel at the time of the dream that that's not getting you anywhere. You feel in a jam. You feel stuck. Then I laugh, yeah. Melinda, that you get out of the jam by getting on a bicycle.
Yeah, I do. I magically had a bicycle all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, isn't that great for flexibility?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at me. I've got a bicycle. Do you ever ride a bicycle in your life?
Very rarely. No, I can't say I do. not recently. Probably not in the last 10 years.
And how would you feel if I said to you, would you mind riding a bicycle this afternoon?
Oh, that'd be fun. I would enjoy it. I just don't do it, I guess.
Okay. So it is a fun, it's a heart thing, it's an enjoyment thing. And getting out of a car into a bicycle obviously gives you the flexibility because you can weave in and out of the traffic. And the bicycle's got a roundness about it, mostly, kind of round, you know, big thing. When you look at a symbol of a bike, you really notice the round wheels, I guess. You have to pedal it on your own. There's no one else involved. You have to do it yourself. It's not the flick of a ignition key in the motor. There's no motor. All the power comes from you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so there's a sense there of, and I often see people who run their own businesses getting about their dreams in bikes, because it's like, you know, I'm putting all the effort's going to come from me here.
I am a very independent person, so, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so, I can see that.
Yeah. So there's a sense in the dream is that does help get you out of the jam, coming back down to your independence. And as you've said, an independent person, putting in the effort by yourself, not relying on outside motors, resources, doing things a bit differently. And you go back to the conference. And then the last bit of the conference is really, so we're back at the beginning of the dream, and trying to bring your dream solutions. You know, your dreaming brain's going, okay, I've come up with a few solutions here, Melinda. So let's go back and see how these would fit into the situation. And we kind of haven't got an all-out win-win solution yet, but we've got some trying on of clothes. Well, what if we did it this way? What if we did it this way? What if I got a different top, you know?
Yeah.
So clothes and dreams, as in life, can be, you know, we wear clothes to suit different occasions, or maybe we wear clothes to give, you know, an image. If you go and apply for a job, you wear different clothes than if you go for a party, to a wedding, a funeral or whatever. Our clothes are chosen by us to kind of maybe communicate a message, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a sense sometimes in a dream when you come down to sort of clothes and looking at clothes, it can be, how am I presenting myself? What's my image? What am I doing here? So at the end of the dream, it's like you're coming back in and you're now thinking about that fourth job that we identified at the beginning of the dream. And, you know, how can you introduce some flexibility? How can you introduce some heart? We're looking at that now with coming back with, you know, we've looked at the basketball tree, we've looked at the bicycle, we've looked at your tendency to still think, oh no, I've got to do it according to the rules and end up in a jam. And now we're at the beginning of the dream again, in a sense, back at the conference and saying, well, we have learned something from that, and it's something about image.
Oh, okay.
Now, right. So now your daughter has got one set of clothes and you've got another set of clothes. So if you think about your daughter, what three words would you use to describe her personality or approach to life?
I think of her as brilliant, very, very much smarter than I am. Beautiful. Ah, yay. Let's see. Yeah, the third one's always the hard one to say. Third word.
It always is.
Huh.
And remember, it's not how she is. It's just your perception.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time coming up with another word.
Okay.
I'll ask
a different question to get that one. How would she feel about playing basketball?
Oh, dear. No. She and I are both musicians. Play sports.
Don't play sports. So, and why wouldn't she play sports? Apart from being a musician, she wouldn't play sport because?
She never had an interest in sports. She was more interested in learning things. Curiosity, very good student.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got she's curious and a good student. She's brilliant, smarter than you, according to you. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's curious.
Yes.
Okay. So in the dream, everyone is an aspect of yourself, and you see that part of yourself in navy and white, reversible.
Yes.
So in other words, you are seeing that you have those qualities too. Oh, there's a part of me that could turn up and wearing navy. I could, brilliant. I am smarter than I think I am. I am beautiful, and my curiosity is a plus here. So if you're looking at navy and white, is navy and white stripes something you would wear?
Not very often. No.
Is it something your daughter would wear?
I don't think so.
No, because people who wear navy and white stripes are, how would you describe their personality?
Casual.
Casual.
Usually.
Okay. Yeah.
I think of navy and white stripes as casual.
As casual. So there's a sense there of I could turn, I've learned all this in my dream, and remembering that the dream is about wanting to stay rigid or not putting your heart in some area of your life, and it's good. Well, I could be casual.
Ah, okay.
Okay. But I'm not really keen on that. I'm not really keen on that look. The part of myself that is brilliant and smart and beautiful and curious could be casual. But it's all reversible. Although I actually like the reversible idea. It's like when you try something in unfamiliar territory, you're not stuck there forever. It is reversible.
Ah, okay.
You can come back.
Yeah.
So we're looking at you now wearing the red polka dot. Is that something that you would often wear? Or is that something you would wear?
No.
No.
Not really.
What would make you feel uncomfortable about wearing red polka dot?
It's almost little girly. Yeah. I don't know another just call it.
Yeah, little girl.
Yeah.
I wonder why it would do that. I wonder why your dream would suggest that that was an option, that you could take a little girly approach.
Yeah. Or maybe almost calico country. Oh, there's country again.
Country, yeah. Yes, yeah.
The calico. Mm. Yeah. Well, again, I think that kind of almost casual.
Casual again. Were you brought up in the country?
No.
No. So what does, if you had to relocate to the country, not where the magical tree is, but another part of the country, how would you feel about that?
If I had to move there, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Like living out.
Living,
cows and.
Yeah, all those things. Ooh.
I like cities better.
Yeah. Okay. So it's quite interesting there that you've got this feeling of it's like in the dream you've been out from the city into the country symbolically in the dream to find these other qualities. And then the end of the dream is like, well, maybe I can bring some of the country back. Maybe I can bring some little girl calico casual back into the structured city.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean, literally doing that, of course, but it's maybe it's bringing some of the feeling of the country, of the heart being in it, the magical basketball tree, and bringing it back. And in the dream, obviously at the end, you're not that comfortable with it, and you're actually looking for what top could I wear with this. So you are looking for a different top. So you've got a top and a bottom in the dream. So maybe the bottom or the lower levels can be more a country feel without living in the country, less structured like a city, bringing in that kind of feeling of nature and casual
I am not a very structured person. I tend to be a lot more free in what I, in the way I do things. I don't naturally have structure.
Okay, so that's beautiful the way you say that. I don't naturally have structure. So naturally is country. That's nature.
Yeah.
Your nature is not to have structure. Yet you love living in a city which has a lot of structure.
Yes. I think because I like to have structure around me, I just struggle creating it for myself. But if there is structure, I like to be creative within that.
Yes.
So
that is excellent. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So at the end of the dream, your added creativity there is what top. What top can I introduce to make all this hang together and make this work? You're bringing in the end of the dream. Maybe there's more of a positive resolution there than I realized. That although you're anxious at the end of the dream with, well, I'm not really sure what I really want to wear, you have, from what you just said there, actually come up with a solution that does fit with your natural self, which is, I like working within structures if structures are there, but I like to bring in my less structured, more creative, more natural self into it. And in a sense, that's what you've got with the dream. You've got, okay, well, I could go as natural as little girly country as long as it's balanced by a different top.
So
if we were to look at that fourth job, you know, which is what the dream's all about, the one that you're not so sure about putting your heart in, the one you're feeling more rigid in, and then we look at everything you've got in the dream there, and we come to the end of what you've just said there, which is actually, I do actually like rigid, I like structures, but I like to bring my natural self and some creativity into that. Why do you feel you're having difficulty bringing your natural self and creativity into that fourth job?
Wow. I'm thinking about quitting it and expanding one of my other ones.
Mm.
And it's very tempting to me. I would really like to not do it. Just because the time it takes, I could use that for other things. But the nice thing about it is it's a paycheck and I don't have to work real hard. So
you could almost turn up like the little girly country and put a different top on and not work too hard. It's like that kind of easy peasy job.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Mm. Yes, it is pretty easy. And I get paid and it's nice, but it's like, I'd like to do something I really like doing.
I loved what you said there just a couple of sentences ago, Melinda, when you said, like, I'm thinking of quitting that and expanding one of my other jobs. And when you bring back the picture of that magical tree with its wide girth, it is actually a very expanded tree.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And also when you expand something to some extent, I guess you can expand and add rules. But you can also expand beyond the rules and structures. And that magical tree had the hoop in it that maybe wasn't the accepted rigid measurements, but was still totally playable.
Yes. And I kind of thought that when I started thinking about the dream later, I thought, I wonder if this refers to what I do for a living. It's not conventional, but it works. And I think, I don't know.
No, that makes sense because, you know, you say it's not, what was the word you used? It's not
conventional.
It's not conventional. Oh, yes. Melinda, just before I go on to say, you were at a conference at the beginning and end of your dream, which some people might call a convention.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So you begin the dream with all the rigidities of conventions and end by going back to the convention and go, well, these things don't quite work. I would need a new top. So I lost what I was going to say. Yeah, you said about the tree that you did, in fact, wonder whether this was a tree and it fitted in with your natural sense of being, which is to not really work in a conventional way, but to expand within that. And you wondered that about the tree because that is your nature. So that then explains why when you saw this tree in the dream, it had been used before. People had been there before.
Yes.
You had interacted with this part of yourself before. That is your basic nature. You know this. This is the way you operate. But for some reason, you haven't really operated like that for quite a long while, because in the dream, it's like it feels like unfamiliar territory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you been forced over recent, maybe even say over the past 4 years, because there's four boys there, although there are four jobs as well. Has there been a situation where you have felt less expansive and been channeled in general into having to be more conventional and not having really visited that magical hoop tree for quite a while?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things I'd really like to create some more time to pursue what I enjoy doing, which does not pay, but it fulfills me.
Yes.
And if I could get rid of one of the jobs to be like, okay, then I could do this, and it would be, I would really like it. And I feel like that something has to go away in order to do.
So if, you know, we're all sitting here going, well, yes, Melinda, leave, you know, forget about that fourth job and expand.
Well, but the problem is, I mean, it's a paycheck.
Yes.
And the nice thing about it, it's one of my jobs that pays through the summer, which usually in the summer, it's like, oh, well, I got to figure out new things to do in the summer And it's there. So I was like, oh, it's kind of security.
Security. So that's the one. And that's what you're trying to work out at the end of the dream. Can I do this? Can I do it in navy and white? Can I do it more casually?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I do it with the little girly country approach, just with a different top? So, you know, a dream never tells you what to do. It reflects where you're at, and then you make the choices from there. So one of the things that the dream is, I guess, suggesting in that is if you kept the fourth job, but you had a really, 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 really ultra casual approach to it. Could you get by, still get paid the money, and be able to reserve your time and heart, in a sense, for putting into and expanding the other things? Is that, I realize you'd have to put in the same number of hours, but do you find at the moment that you put in some hours outside of the actual face-to-face hours in that fourth job?
I don't, you know what? It is so rigid. There is no way. It doesn't allow any flexibility. It's my most rigid job. So, yeah, I don't think I could keep it and do the other that I'd like to do.
No. So what we have to do then is find a way, you know, you have two choices. One is keep the job and get unhappy.
Yeah.
And the other is find a way that brings in the paycheck for you that enables you to leave that job or scale it down in some sense so that you can put the energy into the others. And at the moment, you will have gone, you know, through all kinds of hoopla's of thinking about this and trying to find solutions, and you don't have a solution for that at the moment. So I guess this is the point where we hand over to Dream Alchemy.
Yes.
So that what we're wanted to do is encourage the part of your unconscious that does actually have a solution, using the symbols in your dream, to come up and present that solution to you. Whether it's that you wake up in the morning and suddenly go, of course I've got it, or whether that solution kind of emanates from every pore of your being and therefore attracts in a salary that enables you to do that from something else.
Yeah. I just thought of something. Part of the dream with the reversible red dress, one side had pockets.
Oh, that's right. You said that. And what do we normally put in pockets?
Well, I was thinking, well, you know, if you refer to somebody who has deep pockets, they have a lot of money.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So maybe, it's got money, you know, one side, the good side of it, it provides money.
That's very good.
The bad side is that I don't really like it.
The good side is it, that's very, very astute. Well done. The good side of it is it provides money. It's got deep pockets, but that's almost like the little girly country side of it.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So we still want pockets, but we want them in a different area.
Yeah.
When you play basketball, do you talk about pocketing the ball, or is that just in snooker and billiards type things?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, it doesn't sound like it does. That's more of a net. Mind you, net's a good financial word too. I'm playing. Yeah, go on.
I said your net worth.
Oh, yeah, your net worth. There you go. Yeah. So I'm just trying to working with the symbols here. What we want to do is enable you to be able to play with your heart in it, the basketball at the magical tree, without going and looking for something more structured.
Right.
And that's enjoying the expansive. So we want to put you in that space using the dream symbols of already enjoying expanding one of your other three jobs or options.
Yeah.
So we want to encourage that. But I think by encouraging that feeling and keep representing that to your unconscious mind, it will begin to come up with a solution as to how you can have more of that.
Okay.
And I'm just having a little think here to see if we can add to that in any way. The heart, something with the heart. See, I mean, you don't think there's any way that you can put the heart into that fourth job at the moment. You've already explored that. That can't be done.
It's not feeling like it to me right now. Right now I don't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we'll concentrate on amping up the symbol of the magical tree, but instead of you going off to look for something better, actually staying there and enjoying it and playing the basketball and feeling fun about it, and because you're a musician, bringing into this visualization a song or a piece of music that to you really fits. Oh, the bill. Here we are, another financial word finding its way in. That really fits the bill there.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds really good. I'd like to have the tree.
The tree.
I'd like to think of the tree, yes.
And we'll also, I'll take you through it, but we'll also make that girth of the tree even wider, so you're still adding to that feeling of I can be even more expansive.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Can we make it a money tree as well? Can we have some money hanging from it?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. All right, some golden coins. And then when you put would it be too much that when you put the ball through the hoop, it's kind of like a jackpot and the golden coins shower on you?
Oh, I'll go for it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So for everyone listening in, before we do this, what we're doing with Dream Alchemy is when you identify a limiting belief in a dream, you usually go in and you do a visualization or artwork or something like that, and you play around with the symbols of the dream to change it. So if you've got a limited belief, you change the vision from the limited vision in the dream into something more abundant and expansive. And what you're doing with that is changing your unconscious beliefs from limiting ones into ones that are unlimited, that are working for you. And in Melinda's case, where we've actually chosen to find a positive symbol in a dream, and in a sense to overcome the limitation in the dream for Melinda was, yeah, that's all good, but I can't play there. We're actually reversing or turning around that limitation or abolishing that limitation and saying, yes, you can. You can not only play here, you can not only be the magical tree, but you can be even more expansive. And not only that, but we can bring in the vision of having the money come from here, as opposed to from the more conventional places. So that's what we're doing. So visualization. Melinda, have you got a piece of music in mind that would suit this theme at the moment?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I can figure something out.
Yeah, so that's something to find after. So I'll take you through this once, and then when you do it on your own, because you'll be doing this visualization, let's say you just do this one 20 times a day for a couple of weeks, and then twice a day for 4 weeks. So that's really, really pumping it into the unconscious. So when you do it on your own, either literally put the music on or imagine it. As a musician, you can probably summon it up. Okay, so we'll keep it simple. Here we are in your dream. Close your eyes. We're in the dream, Melinda. And we arrive and we get out the car. And here's this beautiful basketball tree. Smell the air. Feel the senses. Smell the air. Smell blossom on the air. Feel the just beautiful, clear, cool air on your skin. Hear this perfect music. Taste the success. Taste the joy. Feel your heart pumping. Feel the passion, feel this is so exciting, and suddenly you have in your hands this beautiful basketball and you can't believe this, but you bend your knees and you take the biggest bend down and you lift up and you jump as high as the hoop and you push the ball down the hoop. And as you do this, you're up in the leaves and the trees and you can see all these golden coins hanging like fruit from the trees. And as the ball goes through the hoop and as you land and spring back on the ground again, there's a shower of golden coins all around you and you're just laughing and thinking, this is so abundant. I can just play at this tree forever. And this is going to be really fun. And how rewarding is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that. I like that.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But you've got the formula. Do it.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. And you're just training your unconscious mind there to find the solution. And let us know when it produces the practical solution.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your dream, Melinda. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I did have a little chat with Melinda after we finished recording there, and she asked me an interesting question, which I thought I'd share with you. She said, you know, I get that it's important to understand what the dream symbol means before you create the dream alchemy. But if I have a dream and I don't fully understand the dream and I have a feeling like, oh, maybe I could do a dream alchemy exercise by, say, visualizing playing basketball at the magical tree, will that work for me, or is there any harm in doing that? And I explained that, you know, if you can't really fully interpret it yourself, or if you're not booking a reading with me or something like that, yes, you can certainly go some way to working with one of the symbols in your dream to transform it yourself as a dream alchemy practice. And if you've chosen your symbol well, and most of us have a bit of a good feeling for that, then yes, it will work for you, but it will work much more deeply and much faster and in a much more transformative way if you fully understand the symbols in your dream, because then you're going into the dream alchemy practice going, I know why I am doing this alchemy practice. You know, I understand exactly and deeply what the magical tree in this case represents. And therefore, the formula for the dream alchemy visualization or artwork or whatever you're doing is precisely adjusted and created and fine-tuned to do the deep work in your unconscious mind that we require it to do. But if you don't really feel that you can interpret at that depth yourself and you are not choosing to have a reading with me for whatever reason, well, you can always come as a guest on the show, though. Remember, that's an easy option. It is absolutely okay to create your own dream alchemy practices and just, you know, measure the responses, see what waking life brings up and fine tune from there. But yeah, the big answer is, of course, the more solidly you understand your personal dream symbols for that particular personal dream, then clearly the more productive and the deeper that work the dream alchemy is going to do. So that may have been a question many of you were thinking too. So thanks to Melinda for bringing that one up. And there you go. Another week, another podcast. And soon I'll be sitting here in another 7 days recording another podcast. If you'd like to be my guest, email me, ask to be on the show. That would be fantastic. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.